My train of thought just had a wreck. There were no survivors. Breaking video, that video, breaking barriers again. It was a furor when it first came into the church. I'm not 100% sure, but I imagine it was because of the traditional hymns, and it didn't fit in with those. And so things are changing. Things keep changing. Amen. One of the things I liked about this, did you see how it started? They were there in the church, and they were worshiping and all that. And then they came out of the doors. See them come out of the church and bring it out of the church? There might be a message there. Amen. Dim Bones. How many of you remember the song Dim Bones? We were trying to find a version for that to sing with the kids involved, but we didn't get there and didn't get it done and don't need to. We've had, and Larry, God bless his heart, we've had two huge chunks of scripture last several weeks, and appreciate all of you enduring it and listening through. Could have done a sermon on each of them. Do you want two sermons this morning? Or all right, you don't need to answer that. Just one's good? Okay, all right. Those dry bones. They are the bones of Israel that has been scattered. They are in diaspora. They've been defeated and scattered and taken away, hauled away in bondage. They're all over the place. The nation seems to be completely decimated. Can these bones still live? Ezekiel, he's the smart person. He says, Lord, you would know. I'm not the expert here, Lord. I don't know how you want me to answer that, so I'll just turn the question right back to you. He's a good politician, isn't he? But don't make any mistake. It is not Ezekiel who does any work. He says, God is working through Ezekiel. And Ezekiel calls out to him, and suddenly there was a noise, a rattling. I can hear the bones rattling. Can you hear that? Can you imagine that? I can hear them. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Sinew grew on them. Flesh grew on them. Skin covered them. Hallelujah. Amen. Get woken up here. Good news. Good news. Exciting news. But there was nothing of life in them. There was no breath in them. There was no breath in them. They're there together. They're reconstituted. They're full, but there's no breath in them. And in the Hebrew, the word breath and spirit are the same word. There was no spirit in them. They were not filled with that spirit. So they turned to the Lord God, the Yahweh Adonai. God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Come from the four winds, O spirit, and spirit upon them that they may live. And they are restored. Amen. Has the Spirit come upon you? I remember in the New Testament, some of the apostles traveling around, and they come across worshiping groups and says, have you received the Spirit? Has the Spirit come upon you? And they say, oh, we're not sure what that is. But are we filled with the Spirit? The good news and bad news is I love this scripture. It's just so full of symbology and the richness of the texture of the dry bones and the valley. And we had Mike, we'll have to get that link to the drawing you did. Beautiful pen and ink drawing. But it had an interesting impact on me this time when I read it. I thought about the churches. I thought about churches. Our numbers are dwindling. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are empty spots in the pews that used to have somebody there. You know, there's two ways, there's different sizes of churches. When you get to a certain size, you just keep track of who's there. But at a certain size, as it diminishes, you keep track by saying, well, so-and-so's missing, and they're not here, and so-and-so isn't in their usual place. And we are at that stage right now, and we know why for some. And you know what? I've discovered something. Every year, I seem to get a little older. But there's good statistics on that. Have you heard those statistics? The statistic is that people that have more birthdays live longer. I don't know. It's one of those mornings. So, but is the church drying? Are we in a valley of dry bones? And it is not just churches. I've had this conversation with several different people. But the Elks, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, I don't know about the Girl Scouts, but the Elks Club, the Masons, those other fraternal organizations, they're diminishing. They're going away. They're empty spots. The churches, we have closed churches. I don't recall if we closed two churches this last annual conference, didn't we, Melba? I'm trying to recall. One or two, I don't remember for sure now. But that's an unfortunate, it's not a pleasant thing to do, but sometimes that happens. Is that a lifestyle in the life cycle? We don't know yet. We don't know. But now I've got to jump to the other scripture. We've got to jump to the Lazarus scripture. Here's a sermon by itself, but the two are tied together by something here because Lazarus is dead too. I mean, he's just not in a coma. He's not just asleep on the bed. There's a stench. He's been dead 4 days. It's over. And yet Jesus resurrects him. God used Ezekiel to restore the dry bones. So Ezekiel is remembered as this great prophet and with all of these abilities and these connections here, but now it is Jesus and not Ezekiel. And Jesus does it on his own, through his own spirit. It asks a million questions. If you want to theologically take apart the resurrection of Lazarus, there are all kinds of interesting questions. Is he alive eternally now? Will he die again? And Mary and Martha have to go through another burial and that grieving process all over again? And you know, how does all of that fit together? And none of that matters to what the scripture is about and what's going on there. But it's important to hear what happens. Jesus brings life out of lifelessness. That's an amazing thought. Life out of lifelessness. Lifelessness is a part of the human journey, isn't it? At least I'm discovering that as I get a little older, there's a little more gray and it's a little lower coming out of my ears than there was on the top of my head, and I'm moving a little slower every day, it seems. Melissa's backwards. She's moving faster and faster. Maybe it's just my perception from my slow point of view. But life and that progression, and where are we? And out of lifelessness, where are we going? In this journey of Lent, how is your soul? How is your spirit? How are you in the world? Are you feeling dispirited? Dried out, dry bones in a desolate valley? Do you feel like things just run past you and keep going? I have learned a bitter lesson, and one is don't watch too much news. Not because you want to deny what's happening, but because the news, the bad news sells. The good news does not. So if you want to turn on the news, be ready for the bad news. And there is enough of that going around. And it can be dispiriting. But I have found something else. I have found the spirit blowing from the four winds when I go into places where there are people. I was in a store, and there was people buzzing around, all rushing to get their stuff done. And we bought some groceries, took it out to the cart with our cart, and we were loading our car. And this lady was buzzing around, and she came over and she said, I'll take that cart over for you if you'd like. And I thought, wow, that's nice. Just out of the blue, she's a busy person, moving about half the speed of light, in my opinion, but grace. And I see it all around. I see it in lots of people suddenly, unexpectedly, and I find it a lot. And I realize that you got to be careful about generalizing where we are as a people and where we are as a society. As there are more and more of us, the same percentage may be troublemakers, but that means there's more if there's more of us. And so we need to recognize that, but we also need to recognize those who are that breath of spirit in the world around us. That's one of the things that brings me here on Sunday morning. I see a bunch of characters in here, and they are breaths of spirit. There's some reason you all come. I don't imagine it's to hear me preach, but there's something about coming together in worship. There's something about what's going on here with the cross. There's something that's happening here, and it is a good thing. Where will we be going next? I don't know. And that's unsettling. That Amazing Grace song we sang, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, and now I see. That Amazing Grace, I'm waiting for it, watching for it, hoping for it, guiding us. Let it guide me. Let it guide all of us. Yes, we are not in the Garden of Eden. I hate to break it to you, but Adam and Eve blew that way back when. Doggone it. But on the other hand, we have the freedom of choice. We have self-determination, and we have to live with our consequences of who and what we're about. And in there is also good news, because in the midst of those journeys, God is with us. God is with us. Amen? Amen. So don't let the dryness get to you. Understand that there is new life and new life burgeoning. I love it when the babies are around. Stephanie came walking in with a baby. I still haven't figured out who it is, but she looked like she was still half asleep. I said, I'm right there with you, child. But that new life and that vibrancy and that potential, and where will that new life be, and where will we find it, and how will it be, and how will it bring breath, bring spirit into this place? Lord God, is there anything you cannot do? Think about that a moment. I was teaching a confirmation class, you know, teenagers and under, getting ready to join the church, and I said, what do you think about God? Does God see everything? And almost unanimously they said, there's no way he can see everything. That's too much. I said, think of the whole world praying. Could God hear all those prayers? No, they can't think of that. In this age of modern computers and AI, artificial intelligence, and chatbots, and all of the Google things that are miraculous, but they couldn't quite picture a God that would see and know everything. I said, we believe in an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing God. Don't put human limitations on God. There is nothing God cannot do. And they were stopped by that. Maybe we need to pause periodically and remind ourselves, there is nothing God cannot do. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. What did you think of that first hymn? You ready? Melt me, mold me. Are you ready? Sometimes melting and molding might be a little uncomfortable. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. An amazing grace, how great thou art. Amen. Amen.